Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this evening's meeting of the South Eastern Area Planning Committee. Agenda item one is Chairman's notices. First notice, sound recording of meeting. Please note the Council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the Council's website. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speaking are deemed to be giving permission to be included in the recording. And a fire, in the event of a fire, officers will notify those present. If you don't already know, please use the fire exits marked with the green running man, which is out of that door and left. The fire assembly point is Barclays Bank car park. Please gather there and await further instruction. Agenda item two, apologies for absence.
We've received apologies for absence from Councillor Mrs. H.G. Elliott and Councillor P.G. L. Elliott.
Thank you very much. And agenda item three, minutes of the last meeting. Found on pages 7 to 20.
Agreed.
Hang on. Councillor Channel.
I do have something. It's in the last line, actually, where it says about my interest. I declared it because of a letter that Essex County Council had sent.
So this is on page 7?
Let me go on. Hold on. I've got the paper next to it. I saw the computer. Yes, there's that part there. But then at the end, it ends by saying, it was to do with the application on page... Well, I've got 9111, but it might say page 9 on someone else's. It's to do with full mail I should unpick. So it says there, in the minute, Councillor Mrs. P.A. Chan also wished to notice she did not comment or vote on this application for reasons relating to the local development plan and the correspondence from Essex County Council. The pertinent point was there, Chairman, they sent it to the applicant, not just a consultation response to the council, it was a letter to the applicant, direct supporting the applicant. That's why I made that declaration.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Sessler.
What about those words I did?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I just noticed on page 8 that Councillor Boyce, MBE, is there. However, Councillor B.S. Beale does not have his MBE decided, which I think is rather unfair.
What have you been up to?
That will be corrected.
Yeah. Well done.
It's funny, I know a shopkeeper loses nothing.
Anything else at the minutes? Oh. Is it agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. Agenda item 5. 4 Church Road, Burnham Crouch, a single story utility extension with pitched roof.
Chairman, with respect to disclosure of interest.
Yes.
I'm terribly sorry. You're absolutely correct. I'll go back to the drawing board and start again. Agenda item 4, disclosure of interests. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests, or non pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraphs 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And members are reminded that they are also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware, should the need arise throughout the meeting. Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Chairman. My normal one, non pecuniary, in that I'm a member of Essex County Council. And they're concerned about highways, access, education, and other matters pertinent to them. And just in the interest of openness and transparency, agenda item number 5, I do know the agent.
Councillor Pratt.
Can you, Chairman, excuse your declaration, non pecuniary as a member of Essex County Council?
Okay, thank you. Councillor Fruger.
Thank you, Chairman. In the interest of openness and transparency, agenda items 5 and 7, I know the applicants. Thank you.
Anybody else? In that case, we will now move on to agenda item 5, for Church Road, Burnham on Crouch, a single-story utility extension with pitched roof, etc. It's before us as a member call-in for Councillor Mrs. H.E. Elliott, reason public interest, and there's a recommendation to refuse.
The planning permission is sought for the single-storey utility extension with a pitched roof and demolishment of the existing dilapidated garage and garden shed to be replaced with a one-bedroom annex accommodation that will be the main house. This is the proposed the location plan. This is the proposed site plan. The proposed site plan shows the garage and the shed to be demolished, and then the yellow elements on the block plan are the additional extensions with the glazed link, which is the conservatory that links the annex to the main dwelling. Existing floor plans.
she has given up the ghost.
Thinking, waiting for the doorbell. He's just thinking, can we go?
So these are the proposed floor plans. The overall length of the extension, including the annex, will be 23 metres. So the entrance hall that includes the utility room measures 4.5 in depth, and then 6.4, and the conservatory measures 4.5, and the annex has a total length of 12.3 metres. And these are the existing elevations. The proposed side elevations, the dotted outline indicates the garage to be removed and the shed, and then the existing roof shape of the existing kitchen. These are the front elevations. Again, the dotted outlines show or what is there existing. Post rear elevations. And then the contextual north and south elevations that again show the heights of the existing garage and shed. The aerial photographs show the front elevation, which is the western elevation, view from the garden to the north, view from the garden to the east, and the eastern elevation, the current rear elevation. This is the neighbouring dwelling to the north, which is the vicar's, and then the boundary fence between closest neighbouring property, the vicar's. It's considered to be a large extension with the annex, with the capability of being a separate dwelling, and therefore the officer recommendation is refusal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
We have two speakers on this item. The first is Parish Town Councillor Bob Carver, who wishes to speak. Mr. Carver, I think you know the rules.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
You've got 2 minutes. Well, time to start speaking. Wherever you find the easiest.
Good evening. This application follows a rather more ambitious scheme that was submitted a year ago by another architect, which comprised a larger annex, partly on two floors, and detached from the main house. Birmingham Town Council objected to that, but we unanimously supported the proposal before you tonight. The proposal is for an attached single-storey structure on a smaller footprint. The scheme has been broadly welcomed by Morden planning officers and almost entirely complies with policy regarding annex extensions to dwellings and government guidance on care for the elderly. However, officers felt the scheme was too large and in their report said it would have an adverse effect on the street scene. I have to disagree on a personal level, and this is not a problem for Burnham Town Council. I walk past this property every Sunday, and as you will see from the drawings, the proposed annex is virtually invisible from the main road behind the modest single-storey utility room extension, and from the north it's hidden by a mature hedge on the boundary. The enlarged footprint of the proposed extension represents less than 1/20th of the rear garden area. From the north, viewed from the vicarage, the neighbouring property, the annex is about a third bigger than the existing garage and shed. But I quote the Reverend Mark North, "The new plans without the additional first floor are much more in keeping with the location and will have no detrimental effect on our neighbouring property. Having discussed the matter in some depth with the applicant, we are happy to support this application." In planning terms, Burnham Town Council support the application. Personally, I do not think the street scene is adversely affected, and you can see yourself from the elevations. Next door, who will be immediately affected, have written in support. In social terms, the benefits that this scheme offers in providing an ongoing independent lifestyle for an elderly relative, and in the long term, care from immediate family members, far outweigh any subjective view of adverse effect on the street scene, and I would ask you to support this application.
Thank you. And the applicant, Philippa Munro. Hello, we've got 2 minutes, the time to start speaking.
Good evening, councillors. Our application is to build an annex at our home for my mother Anne, who is 87. My mother currently lives alone, but she is beginning to find that onerous, and whilst she's in good health, she would like more company. My mother has sailed in Burnham since 1956 and has lived here since 1986. She's involved in the life of the town, being famed for her fundraising for local charities. She's an independent woman, a physiotherapist who finished her working life in her 70s. She's had to give up her car and playing golf last year after breaking her wrist but she's planning to take up bowls this year. My mother does not want to live in a care home when she's older. She wants to stay in the community she knows, near her friends, and the activities she enjoys. My husband and I had always intended that she would live with us or near us so we could support her. Our proposed annex will help her to live as independently as she can for as long as possible and will provide flexible accommodation that lends itself to her future needs. I think our annex is small. It has a little kitchen, as my mother loves to cook for herself and for the Burnley Day Centre, where she cooks for pensioners some younger than herself. It has a room with storage because she's downsizing considerably and has things she wants to keep. It is intended as a private space within a family home. I feel very strongly that families should support and help their parents, but also that we should encourage them to continue to live the full lives they've enjoyed. My mother will sell her house and invest the money to provide funds for her future care. Her house will be released into the market so a new family can enjoy it. She'll have as much company as she wants while having privacy when she needs it, and we will know that she will feel secure about the future. I do hope you'll be able to support us.
Board members, Councillor Whitney.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I did support this at the Burnley Town Council meeting. I do drive past there quite frequently because, you know, there are other annexes at rear of houses. They've been approved over the years. And because of the purpose of this, I don't have a problem with it. If somebody would like to live with them, I mean, I have relatives up Stony Hills and they have their parents living with them. They had an annex built there because, you know, they're both now quite ill. And I don't have a problem with it. I quite agree with what Councillor Calvin has said. And, you know, I don't think it would be over the development of that, of the back garden. And I have to say, I propose that we support it.
Is that seconded? Seconded at various places. Councillor Pratt.
Yes, Chairman. I'd be interested to see what detriment to the streets the officers feel that this extension would have. Because looking at the drawings, there isn't an awful lot of change because you don't know what's going on behind the house. Aerially, yes, it looks enormous, but I don't see a problem. It has all the facilities for independent living. I'd be happy to second this. I support it, and I would happily take a vote and move on.
Councillor Fluker and then Councillor Acevedo.
Well, Chairman, I sort of accord with all that. I mean, this is quite an iconic house, and when this came forward, I was a bit concerned, but I mean, it doesn't really change the seats to the street scene at all. And I agree with what the applicant said, Mrs. Munro, when she spoke to the fact how important it was to keep her elderly mother nearby. I mean, the alternative would be to convert those outbuildings, which certainly wouldn't be appropriate. So, Chairman, it certainly does have my support, and I hope you do put it to the vote shortly. But, I mean, I don't see how it would be possible to annex the building from the main property, but I do think that we should, if we are minded to approve this, we have a 106 agreement to make sure it stays with the property. Thank you.
Councillor Acevedo.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, when the agent spoke, he mentioned that the vicar, or the person in the vicarage, I might have got that wrong, but the person in the vicarage was very much in favour of this application and didn't see any detriment to the street scene. And I now understand that the a letter of support came from actually the next door neighbour. So I don't see a problem with any of that. The applicant also spoke very honestly and was very informative. And I think if we are going to refuse applications of this type, which are clearly family orientated and aren't going to be detrimental, in my opinion, to anybody or anything, I find it really difficult to agree with the officer. So I'm happy to approve.
Councillor Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank Councillor Pratt. I was going to ask what the detriment to the street scene was. But also, Chairman, what concerned me that this in the reason of refusal, with due respect to the officers, states quite clearly this proposed development would result in demonstrable harm to both the dwelling and the locality. Contrary to, now, with all due respect, Chairman, I've really looked at this and I have great difficulty in establishing that demonstrable harm. It's not a small site, there's plenty of curtilage there, and with all due respect, Chairman, when at the consideration of a very large site recently at Full Council, the then planning officer made the point we had to prove that there was demonstrable harm, because they said there wasn't any. How then you can have a single dwelling wanting to seek to place a single-storey annex in their garden on a relatively large site, I cannot see how you can say that has demonstrable harm when I equate it with what recently was approved at council. That's my personal observation. I wholeheartedly support this. It will provide a safe, secure, caring environment for an elderly person. Not everyone wants to live in a village community of elderly persons. They want to be with their family and have as much inclusion or exclusion as they choose. I know Councillor Peake can fight on that, but my mother was like that. We looked after my grandmother, we looked after our mother in an annex, and actually, I know the government want families to be more supportive. I wholeheartedly think the recommendation before us is not the correct one, Chairman.
Anybody else wishing to speak? I'll let Councillor Fluker return briefly.
Well, Chairman, I'd just pick up on what Councillor Chandler said. And yes, I mean, my mother lives in an annex at home, and my advice to any applicant would try and build it as far away as it has. But anyway, this is what it is. But I just want to pick up on what Councillor Chandler said, because the demonstrable harm really is subjective. And the officers have a professional view, the members have a different view. So, you know, let's not get too excited about that. But, Chairman, I think the will of this committee appears to be to want to approve this, so I hope we put it to the vote now.
But can we have our... Well, I think it might be...
We'll get Mr Harrison to come back, and I would just point out that clearly Councillor Mrs... Councillor Fluker's mother isn't present tonight, or he would have worded that differently.
Mum knows how much.
The view of officers is largely come from the fact that this full side elevation would be visible between properties if the landscaping wasn't present at the site. And there's this bit of some landscaping along that side boundary, if that was ever taken out because it's not protected, then the full, you'd be able to see between the properties the full side elevation of that extension being at 20 odd metres deep. In our opinion, it would, in terms of footprint, have a significant impact on the street scene. But I can read the time of the room and a couple of suggested conditions.
Yeah.
The normal three conditions about time, plans, and materials would be normal. And to address Councillor Fluker's point, section 106 wouldn't be necessary because the condition would be adequate to achieve the same.
Okay,
to
accept
that.
Chairman, can I just say something here? I think, had the dwelling in the next area been very close to the boundary, I perhaps could see perhaps where that thinking might come. We're talking about quite a significant different distance where the dwelling, who is actually supportive, is from the boundary. So to me, that mitigates perhaps what the officer just said, with all due respect. Had it been nearer to the boundary, like a metre, I mean, then that might be a more equitable case, but actually, bearing in mind the distance of the dwelling that could be most affected, I'm not sure that
and being single-storey, it won't have a significant impact. Councillor Boyce?
Just on the conditions, I'm not sure whether the officer actually said, but surely we can put a condition on the landscaping that will retain and enhance whatever is there. If it's within their curtilage, but if it isn't, a suitable condition to go with it.
Are you meaning soft landscaping rather than earth banks?
Yes.
It's just going to have to be planting,
isn't
it?
No, I'm not engineering, I'm gardening.
Thank you. We probably wouldn't recommend such a condition because the landscaping in itself isn't worthy of protection. It would mitigate what's there, but to require its retention would only be temporary because you could insist upon it for a certain amount of period anyway. So in this case, we probably wouldn't recommend imposing such a condition.
Okay. Happy with that, Councillor Boyce?
Yeah, really.
Right, we better just look for that. Has anybody got anything new to add? Or if not, I intend to take this to the vote. It's been proposed by Councillor Putney, seconded by Councillor Pratt. to not accept the officer recommendation to refuse, but to approve the application subject to conditions as discussed. Those in favour, please show. In that case, that's basically unanimous. Thank you. No, one didn't.
And you have the conditions as discussed.
Right, okay. Agenda item 6 has been withdrawn. Agenda item 7, Hardy's Bar and Grill, 36 Imperial Avenue at Mayland, to vary condition 3 and remove condition 4 of the approved application. It's here before us through member call-in, 3 members, Councillors Helm, Chana and Acevedo, but there is a recommendation to refuse for the reasons as detailed in section 8.
The planning commission sought the removal of condition 4, which restricts the use of the units above the public house to those who are wholly or mainly employed by the public house, and the variation of condition 3 to provide additional amenity space by relocating some existing car parking spaces. So this is the existing site plan. And this is the proposed block plan that shows you the grassed area, the green area on the block plan that shows you the new amenity area and the relocation of the spaces 1, 2, 3, 8 and 7 and 9 on the block plan. And this is what was originally approved, the ground floor plan under the 2011 application where the conditions were originally imposed. This is the ground floor, and this is the first floor plan that shows the units above the public house. So the condition, these are the conditions to be removed, and the wording of them. This is just that photograph. So this is the aerial photograph that shows the existing car parking layout, block in relation to the block plan that shows the relocation of the car parking spaces and the amenity space to be created. These are the front and the three, the two of the front, and I'm really sorry about it. The front elevations that show the locations of the 4 units and the staircase that leads up to the front doors of the units that sit to the rear of the premises. It's considered that the removal of condition 4 would allow the units to be self-contained residential flats that could be affected by noise and disturbance from the public house to an unacceptable level. And the variation of condition 3 is considered to result in amenity space that would be of limited value to the occupiers due to its location in terms of overlooking noise and fumes from the uses of the parking areas. These views are supported by the council's environmental health officer, and therefore the recommendation is one of refusal.
Thank you. Thank you. We have one person wishing to speak, and that's the applicant, Faye Collin. Colin, you've got 2 minutes by the time you start speaking. They're fairly safe in here, they are. Generally, they don't bite, so you should be all right.
Firstly, I'd like to apologise for using it out of the planning. It was something that my husband had done, and I'd just carried on using it as he did before he died. The flats are lovely, people enjoy living there. They're rented on a six-month term. After that 6 months, if they want to leave, they can. But everybody has stayed for at least a year, 2 years, 3 years. We've also had people leave and actually come back again. I've got a gentleman there that left some time ago, and he's just returned. Not everybody wants to have garden space or amenity space. The people, I've had a lady living there who had a baby, and she lived there for 3 years. All I can say is, before you ask me to evict these people that enjoy it there, they like it there, we just either speak to them or, just speak to them, because they're just well, I don't know what I'm going to do if I have to evict them and board the places up, because I feel they're an asset to Mayland. Okay, that's all I can say.
Okay, really. Thank you.
All right.
Before I open up the discussion, why is it considered different for it to be rented out on the open market as opposed to people who are working in the premises?
Generally, the difference is that the person who's working in the public house will have some ability to control the noise, or some expectation that they'd be subject to that noise when they're living in the public house, whereas on the open market they'd have no control of the moan from it, and also the timings of work, and that a person living in the public house would expect to go awake later at night whilst the pub is open, hence them being connected to the public house.
And the same question basically, but relevant to the public, to the open space for those dwellings. Why should it be allowed to be smaller for a worker on site rather than...
For much the same reason that a person working in a premises is less likely to have the desire to have the amenity space that a self-contained dwelling would. And the difference in terms is reflected in the Morden District Design Guide in terms of amenity space provision for open market units.
Thank you. Who wishes to speak first? I've got three of you here.
I think Councillor Fado should, because even though Councillor Hemmer, I called it in, okay. Is actually within her board. So.
And mine.
I'm only making the fact that Councillor Acevedo called in. But if Councillor Helm's happy with that, I don't know. But
I'm quite happy.
Yeah, right, Councillor Acevedo.
Thank you, Chairman. I didn't put my hand up there, so let's let
Councillor Boyce go first.
Yeah.
Chairman, very simply, remembering the debate we've had earlier about demonstrable harm, I think it's very difficult to find a demonstrable harm here. The noise issue seems to have been covered, and I've got no problems with this applicant.
Okay.
Or the applicant's application, should I say.
Yes. Councillor Acevedo.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I've read, as I'm sure all of us have, two letters, one that came by email and one by post, actually, from current residents of this premises. And both of them are extremely happy there. They believe that the space that they have, amenity space, is certainly adequate for them. One of them actually stated that they used to live a few doors, a few houses away from where they are now, and the noise from the road was far more, far louder than the noise that they ever get from the public house, because they don't actually have, they're not right on the road now. I also note, so clearly the residents are happy, but I also note clearly that Environmental Health do object, but I'm afraid I'm having a bit of a problem with this. It's clearly noise and smells that they have a problem with. Well, could we please go to the picture of where the extraction is, where the door, where the stairs are to the rear flats? You can clearly see where the extraction is there, and that is facing nowhere near a window. It's underneath that extraction. Firstly, you would normally think that, yes, there could be some smells. However, it's not dangerously near to the windows, and certainly not in the direction of. Also, years ago, extraction was extremely noisy. Now, as a restaurateur for 20-odd years, I do know that extraction is nowhere near as noisy as it used to be. So I clearly understand that Environmental do have, you know, issues with it, but I, as somebody who have been in this business for many years, would not have a problem with that, and I actually unfortunately have to disagree with the officer's recommendation.
Captain Mrs. Channel.
Thank you, Chairman. Obviously, I looked into this and the previous history, but I have to say the reason I called it in, because I was interested to see it in report form before a committee came forward. And what are we going to do with these people that have actually found a place to live in the community? What are we going to do? Evict them, put them on the hopeless list? And bearing in mind what I heard at a recent meeting about affordable housing or other such things, And choice-based lettings, if they start bidding for properties in the area, won't necessarily mean they would retain somewhere in the area of Mayland. They're settled there, and like Councillor Boyce and Councillor Acevedo, I've actually found myself feeling that I can support agreeing to this rather than the item of refusal. I think people who go there recognise the pub or whatever restaurant, and so they know what's there. And certainly Councillor Acevedo has just referred to various things. I'm aware from representations those people are happy. And the alternative, I think, is a far worse scenario than allowing perhaps this to be agreed and to keep those people in a home which they've settled into, in a community they've settled into.
Councillor Helm, were you wishing to speak?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These people are obviously very happy living there. And if it had been a worker living there on their day off, they would still be subjected to whatever would be objected to. But I can't see there is any objection to noise or anything like that. And I agree with all my fellow members, and I think we should support this application, and I propose we do so.
Is that seconded? That's seconded. Right, Councillor Flute.
Yeah, thank you, John. I mean, I am mindful, and the officers didn't actually speak to it, but there was an appeal on this site as well. But, Chairman, I couldn't help hearing the officers say that the environmental health issues, to quote the officers, said could have a detrimental effect on the occupants, and it could have. But this is a lifestyle issue. I mean, people will decide themselves whether or not to rent a flat above a public house. I mean, look, you know, we've got no control over what a public house is going to look like in 3 months, 6 months, or whatever, and it could turn into a massive, great heavy metal venue with loud music and everything else. But it would be still be up to the tenants whether or not they wanted to rent the properties, you know. And as far as amenity space is concerned, I always find this very interesting because we've got a huge amount of apartments coming forward in the LDP, and they always have these shared spaces. Well, there is a provision of a space here, you know. Whether it's suitable or not, who knows? But in my mind, if someone's got somewhere to put their barbecue and slosh a few beers down rather than going to probably what's a very expensive public house, then they have got their amenity space, haven't they? You know, not all gardens, you know, there's gardens in London that back onto high speed rail networks. I mean, are we saying that that's not a good amenity space? It is what it is, isn't it? And I think, Chairman, that Councillor Helm made a proposal that, contrary to the officer's recommendation, we refuse this application. I supported that, and I hope we'll put that to the vote, because it would concern me enormously if these people, if these apartments were not used like this. It's another set of families that have got to be found homes locally. So, contrary to the officer's recommendation, I certainly would support that this is approved. Thank you.
Anybody got anything new to add? If not, we have the... Oh, sorry.
Conditions.
Conditions.
Thank you, Chair. Because the nature of the application is a variation application, so if permission is granted, then it will be a standalone permission in its own right. So any conditions that were imposed on the previous permission need to be carried forward where they're still relevant, if everything complied with. Conditions 3, 5, 7, 8, and 9 address matters including the amenity space, which you've heard about, the retention of parking spaces, the motel units at the back of the site, and the holiday accommodation not being occupied for more than 28 days in a 2-month period. But all those conditions need to be carried forward as the new commission, slightly reworded to reflect the...
Obviously not 28-day one.
That would apply to the motel units, which would be part of the original commission, but obviously not the new one. Like I said, none of those conditions would need to be reworded by officers to reflect the fact that parts of the conditions have been discharged and such like.
Yeah. Members content with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Councillor Luca?
No, sorry, I thought you were calling
for the vote. But if nobody's got anything new to add, we have a proposal by Councillor Helm, seconded by Councillor Mrs. Acevedo, to approve this application contrary to officer recommendation. Those in favour, please show. Yeah, okay, that's it. None against, thank you. agenda item 8. Any other items of business that the chairman of the committee decides are urgent? I have none. And so we will close this meeting at 8:06. Yeah.